What is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament? Find out the answer to that question and much more on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Really excited about our current series. We're going through the Psalms with expert David Renfro. Thank you, David, for being with us. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and David Renfro. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. We're going through the Psalms with a guest, David Renfro, graduate of Dallas Seminary, author of a commentary on Exodus that you can read at thebiblesays.com. Thank you very much for being with us, David. This has been such a good discussion so far.
It's great to be here.
I mean, the one thing that I don't like about it is that we only have 12 or 13 minutes to go through these each of these Psalm categories.
Me too.
So today we're going to go over Royal Psalms. I know, Bob, you love this category of Psalms.
Yeah. Royal Psalms are, I mean, they're messianic because Jesus is the king. And so these Royal Psalms are prophetic.
Psalm 110, the psalm we're going to go over.
Oh, that's a great psalm. Quoted a lot in the New Testament.
It is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament, especially in Hebrews. Many, many times it's quoted and applied to Jesus Christ. I think it's fascinating that there is that close connection between the royal psalms and Jesus himself. And the New Testament makes it plain that that's the case.
One thing that we've seen in these psalms is they're all God-centered. You're praising God for what he's done. Those are called declarative praise psalms. We're lamenting the bad things that are happening to us. We are praying for the destruction of our enemies in imprecatory psalms. But it's all God, God save us, God help us. But now we have these royal psalms, and are these about the king?
Yeah, this is really about extolling the king, whatever king we're talking about. David was king, but he recognized that there was another king above him.
Okay.
Some of these royal psalms bring that out. In some of the psalms, these royal psalms, they do use the idea of the anointed.
So what is that, the anointed?
Well, the word anointed in Hebrew is Mashiach. You have to kind of have a allergy problem to use Mashiach. Of course, we get our word Messiah from it, anointed one. That's why a lot of these royal psalms do point to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. They talk about it, and they talk about his reign. And as we know from other scriptures, that this Messiah will sit on the throne of David, and it'll be an eternal throne.
Mm. Yeah, right out of the box, the first two verses are very familiar to everyone listening.
Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord said to my Lord. So there's two lords here.
That a lot of ink has been spilled on what in the world we're talking about here. The author of Psalm 110 is David, and he's the one that says, the Lord said to my Lord. Now, what's interesting is, here we go back to the Hebrew. The first, the Lord is Yahweh, and that's the second person of the Trinity, the person that gave the Ten Commandments and so on, and the one that when Jesus said before Abraham was, I am, because Yahweh means I am.
Uh-oh.
So he claimed to be the Yahweh of the Old Testament many times, as we know from the Gospel of John. So what we have here is we have David proclaiming that Yahweh says to my Lord, and the my Lord there is another Hebrew word, Adonai.
Adonai. Okay.
Or Adoni, my Lord. And Adon means Lord in the sense of master or supervisor, manager, whatever you want to say there.
Well, I have a question, David. It would seem like the first Lord, Yahweh, although often in the Old Testament does refer to the second member of the Trinity, but here it would seem like this is referring to God the Father talking to God the Son because of what follows. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Isn't this the Father saying to Jesus, sit at my right hand? You get something like that in Revelation 3:21. He who overcomes, to him I will grant to sit on my throne,
right,
just as I overcame and sat at the right hand of my Father.
That's possible. I think one thing that might clear this up is when I looked at this in the Hebrew literally reads here in verse 1, an oracle of Yahweh to my Lord.
Uh-huh.
And the word oracle there, when it's I don't like this translation. In fact, most of the English translations say, "The Lord said to my Lord." It's not just New King James. I wish they would go with the literal Hebrew there. An oracle of Yahweh, or the Lord, all capital letters, to my Lord. The reason is the word for when he says the Lord said, it's a word that's used a lot in the prophetic literature about a pronouncement, a prophetic word. It's not just some kind of dictation thing. It's like when one of the prophets, minor prophets, will say, the Lord spoke to me or gave me this word. It's the Hebrew word, and that's word is used here, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because it literally is the Lord speaking an oracle.
So it's Yahweh speaking to Adonai.
Well, that's Adonai, which means the E on the end of it means my. So it's literally my Lord. And this is where the interpretation of this really gets kind of nasty, because if you study it, we don't have time to go into the gory details of this, but probably what David is referring to is one of his descendants.
Okay.
Right. How doesn't the Lord say, how can David call his son his Lord?
Right. And I think he's talking about his descendant. And of course, ultimately, we're talking about Christ, because he is going to sit on the throne of David. It's a legitimate claim to that throne, as you could trace through the Old Testament.
And he's called the son of David all in the Gospels.
Exactly. And so we have ample proof that Jesus is qualified to sit on the throne of David. And that's what I think he's talking about here. He's saying the Lord gave an oracle, a prophetic word, if you will, concerning my Lord, meaning my descendant.
So wait a second. You're blowing my mind here, because you said the first reference to Yahweh is a reference to Jesus, because Jesus said, "I am, before Abraham was, I am." Mm-hmm. So it's Jesus speaking about basically his future incarnation?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So you see both of these as referring to the second member of the Trinity.
Ultimately.
But in different functions, I guess.
Yeah, well, the Yahweh of the Old Testament was there at the creation.
You're saying it's not the Lord said to my Lord, but the Lord pronounced concerning my Lord.
Right. And the second Lord there is the physical manifestation of the second person of the Trinity.
Of Yahweh, yeah.
Of Yahweh. Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, trust me. If you read the literature on Psalm 110, people go nuts on this verse, as you might expect.
Yeah.
But the sanest interpretation that I saw was that David is referring to his descendant, which, of course, between David and Jesus, there was lots. But ultimately, the descendant he's talking about is Christ himself.
Right.
All right, so what's the structure of these psalms?
These psalms, the structure varies, but the idea is it talks about a king, extolling the king. The king is great. The king is going to do this. There's not a lot of problems, if you will, like in the Lament Psalms. Mm-hmm. The focus is extolling the king, making sure that the king is uplifted in praise.
I'm curious, where would this have been used? Where would Israel be praising the king?
There's a lot of places where this and another category of psalms that we're going to talk about that probably would be sung at a festival.
Okay.
The many festivals that they had in Israel back in those days. And a lot of times they would go to, just like during the time of Passover in Jesus' day. Jesus went from Galilee to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Well, the Jews or the Israelites back in David's day would do the same thing. They would go to Jerusalem for the various festivals. Hmm. And as they enter the gates, they may sing this psalm or one of the other psalms as a celebration to the king. Or, as we're going to see in a later psalm, they will sing as they enter the gates to the temple. But it's really purely praise. It's purely acknowledgement of who God is and that he is the king. He's the sovereign one. It's my pet peeve that there's another thing missing in our churches today, and that's the teaching on God's sovereignty.
Well, that's good. And notice you have in this psalm in verse 2, rule in the midst of your enemies, so his future rulership. In verse 4, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
Yeah, what does that mean? We know that from the book of Hebrews,
right,
means. They think it's a reference to Christ.
But he's not only king, he's also priest.
You're right. This descendant of David will not only be king, but he will be priest. Can I blow your mind a little bit more?
Yes, please do.
I mean, y'all still look like you have your sanity. I think probably when he's talking about the order of Melchizedek, that he, not only is he going to be king, he will be priest. Guess when that happens with Christ? When he sets up his millennial kingdom on earth. He will both be king and priest during the millennial kingdom. See, the setting for this psalm is, in the first three verses, David acknowledges that his Lord will sit at the right hand of the Lord until he is empowered to set up his kingdom. And if you read through this, you see that come through some of the words. And then verse 4 is, oh, by the way, this king that's waiting to set up his kingdom, yes, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, right, the right hand of God, but at some point in the future, he's going to come to earth and set up his kingdom. And he will be also a priest of the order of Melchizedek.
Because, I mean, the promises to Israel were not to be disembodied souls floating on clouds playing harps in heaven.
Yeah, there's not flowers blooming on those clouds and puppies running around.
Right, right. Promises to Israel were an earthly kingdom.
Yes, I'm fully convinced that the kingdom will be physical in time, space, and history. The last three verses is David states that this Lord, or king, if you will defeat those who oppose his reign. The last verse of this psalm is fascinating. Notice he says, after he sets up his kingdom, it says, he shall drink of the brook by the wayside, therefore he shall lift up the head. Any questions? I think what's going on there is once he sets up it. See, the brooks in ancient Israel, probably today too, mostly are dry. Mm. And when a brook actually has water that you can drink, that's a sign of blessing.
Mm.
And I think that's what's going on here. This king will set it up to where these brooks will have water to drink so we, his people, can be refreshed. He can be refreshed, but he also provides refreshment for his people.
So 5-6 looks at the tribulation, and then 7 looks at opening into the millennial kingdom.
The Lord will defeat his enemies, set up his kingdom on earth, and we will all be refreshed.
Well, thank you very much for those thoughts, David. Keep on listening to our show as we continue through this series on the Psalms.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. Well, here we are at another Friday. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be with you again on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.